It's Power Hour LSU.
Oh man, the last post-game Sunday night live stream. We have so many days, 260 of them, until LSU versus Clemson. But the fun really begins right now because LSU needs to build a roster, because what that Houston win versus us in the Kinder Texas Bowl told me is that this roster was bad. And the thing that really stood out to me was LSU did the right thing. They let Frank Wilson coach the bowl game. You know, unlike what Ole Miss did, letting a coach finish what he started. And I'm still not going to back down from Frank Wilson's absolutely positively cowardly punt on 4th and 3. There's nothing at all he could lose. The only thing he could lose is his job. Oh, wait, he already did. He took another one. And he still decided to punt, even though the whole world wanted you to go for it. And guess what? Any rational person would have gone for it on that 4th and 3, but that's not here nor there. We let Frank Wilson coach the team, and he really didn't do that great of a job of managing games. He made 3 pretty colossal mistakes in that Houston game. So we would have been better off having someone else coach that team last night because of all the mistakes that Frank Wilson made in that game. But to go even one step further, we allowed so many players to play in the bowl game, even when they announced that they were going into the transfer portal. We had players tweeting before the game began, oh my goodness, it's been a great 2 years, but I'm out of here after this game tonight. I've had so much fun. I don't know in the near future if I'm going to allow players that are announcing that they are going into the portal to play in the bowl game, because the ones that did that very thing honestly played their absolute worst game versus Houston, when historically bowl game matchups have been easier for LSU during the Brian Kelly era. But whatever the case may be, I truly do believe this is going to be the most radical rebuild we have had at LSU, even more so than what Brian Kelly had to clean up after Ed Orgeron, because I am not sure if we're going to strike as hot a gold in our first recruiting class as we did in that classic 2022 LSU recruiting class. So I just don't know. When you look at the schedule next year, the first 9-game SEC schedule, you're playing Clemson as a season opener. I just don't feel great about where things are right now with this LSU team, because I feel, and probably you feel, there might be 7 guys that played in that game yesterday that you feel awesome about starting and taking their games to the next level with Lane Kiffin next year. So, boy, oh, boy, this is going to be the heaviest portal team we will ever have at LSU. There are going to be, where you are sitting right now, 10 guys that dress up, play, start a lot in the game versus Clemson in the season opener. Today, you have never heard of at least 5 to 10 of those guys. That's how big of a rebuild this is going to be. You look at corner. You feel really good about LSU at corner. You get PJ Woodland back. He's good. Even though he played a tough game last night, DJ Pickett, he's going to be really good next season. He's probably going to be an All-American next year. But man, oh man, you go up and down this team. That LSU defensive tackle performance yesterday was one of the worst we have had at LSU. And, you know, they didn't have their coach, Kyle Williams, in that game. But we had guys out there just doing their own thing, not even standing in their gap, lining up at a zero tech nose and looping around and in on a five-man front with the game on the line. That is what happened at the end of the game. And that was a six-year player doing that. So it was such a weird performance to end a weird season. But no matter where you are watching this right now, we need to lock the freak in. And Ben Glasscock, if you're watching this right now, that is the LSU general manager who came over from Ole Miss. I need you to know to do your thing. Be aggressive. Go get the best of the best because we need it. We desperately need it. And of those players that LSU, when they had these exit meetings and have already had meetings, obviously, with some of the players, if you are one of the guys that are coming back, take your game to the next level. We need it now more than ever. So it's going to be very, very, very fascinating. And the thumbnail image, of course, is Michael Van Buren. As we say hi to Tony, we say hi to Alexander. The big question, will Michael Van Buren be back at LSU? When he told Wilson Alexander of the Advocate last night that he does indeed want to come back. Could it be that he's still hung up in the emotion of the game? And it's really tough to say, hey, I'm leaving after what was a good performance by him. But if he were to leave, at least he ended on a high note. And he played phenomenally. By far his best QBR. By far his best PFF grade. And phenomenally is a loose word compared to how he had been playing, where versus Oklahoma, it was very tough. And then the week before versus Western Kentucky, it was even worse. He played amazing. But this is a PHL stat that we have shared, and hopefully you guys have taken this and bet it. SEC quarterbacks play really well in bowl games. So far, three of them have played three of their best games, and, well, actually four of them. I'm going to throw, you know, Mateer, he had that one bad pick six, but overall he was pretty good. And then you have Matt Zollers, who was a backup, didn't play well versus a Virginia motivated team. And then, of course, Marcel Reed didn't play well. But mostly SEC quarterbacks ball out in bowl games. Even the ones that aren't that great, they play really, 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 really well in bowl games. All right. So that's why I say, yeah, Michael Van Buren was good. But there were still a lot of The incompletions were rough. They were very rough. So it's one of those things where I am open to MVB being a backup. I would love for him to be the backup next year for LSU. I think that is a very valuable asset, a backup who could come in and with a lot of experience, play right away and help your team win games. A backup who has some mobility. But this was the thing when I posted this poll to Twitter, and we'll take a look at the Laborde Therapy poll question right here. Do you want Michael Van Buren back at LSU? 67% of you said yes, all right, up to this point. But here's the problem with that. You need to ask yourself, is it the bowl game that is swaying you to having Michael Van Buren back for next year? You cannot let the bowl game sway you. It's not swaying me. The big reason why I would want Michael Van Buren back is that I think depth is going to be the most commonly used word. But, yeah, we do have some bad weather in the area. But the truth is, I am of the belief that you look at a guy like Michael Van Buren, and if he's willing to potentially take a discount in particular to come back and be the guy, if he loves LSU that much, the price is also important. All right. It really, really, really is. Okay. So type Y for yes, type N for no, if you can hear me loud and clear. Our Michael Van Buren film study is up if you want to watch it. And then it gets into, to me, one of the biggest stories from last night's game. All right. So it's strange because anytime you criticize someone of huge stature with LSU football, it comes with a price. Last year with some of the things I said about Brian Kelly came with the price. Pisses some people off. If Brian Kelly doesn't do well, people that you talk to might be losing their jobs. But you got to tell the truth. And to me, there are two things that can be true at once about Blake Baker. The first is I wanted him to come back. And I legitimately wanted him to remain at LSU. Because I do think he is mostly a good defensive coordinator. I do. But at the same time, I don't think this season was as great as people made it out to be for the LSU defense. Outside of a few truly elite transfers coming in and saving the day. Now, it gets into, hey, is your team more about the players or is it more about the coaches? And honestly, it's a mixture of both. Anyone would tell you that. And you can make a case that it's more important to have dudes on defense, as in the elite best of the best players, whereas on offense, if you have an elite play caller, you can work around those things. And Blake Baker and what happened versus Houston last night, it wasn't the worst defensive performance I've ever seen. It really wasn't. Houston only averaged 5.3 yards per play, but they did have a ridiculously high success rate. And while they didn't have an elite yard per play number, they were really good on third and fourth down. And they hit a lot of explosives. They had four different receivers with a catch of at least 19 yards. They just didn't have a receiver make a catch of 25 yards or more. So they hit a bunch of big chunk plays. And they hit a bunch of big chunk runs. And yes, if Jack Pyburn is out there, that changes a lot. If Whit Weeks is out there, that changes a lot. Harold Perkins and how he was playing at the end of the season, that changes a lot. In particular, Perk did some really good things versus Oklahoma. So you get that, and you know that. And then, of course, the two big pieces are Halsey and Delane. So I implore everybody that's listening to this, and I know it's tough because it's a game that you don't really care a whole lot about. My bowl film studies never do well, all right? But I do think what a bowl film study does tell you, in particular on defense, where there is more opt-outs, is how good is a defensive coordinator at problem-solving a situation where your best dudes aren't out there. And this is the second consecutive year where we were pushed around. Now, last year was different because our starters weren't good for the most part. This year it was different. We had a bunch of good starters. And it was tough. It was really, really, really tough. There was guys running wide open all night. And I am fine with number 9 beating DJ Pickett on a post for a touchdown at the end of the half. That's an NFL tight end going up against a true freshman corner. What I'm not fine with is not calling a timeout before that. And once again, that was one that's more on Frank Wilson than it is Blake Baker. That is an easy timeout to call. But the problem is Frank Wilson was so hot-headed before that it didn't matter. Couldn't call the timeout because he was too busy getting a 15-yard penalty. Then he had the fourth down punt. So those are the three mistakes. We'll talk more about that coming up in a second. But go through all the games that LSU lost last year. And I say last year, it's about to be last year. This year in 2025. And so many of them, the touchdowns that the other team scored were bust. Guys running wide open. Do you know that Oklahoma, I don't know if they beat us if we don't give them a 60 gazillion yard walk-in touchdown on a coverage bust. Now, whose fault is that? Doesn't matter. Because we've had so many of those this year. And then, and this gets a little dangerous when you do this, you can get into some transitive property stuff. All right? So what I want you to do is take a look at the game log from LSU this past season. And we'll talk about some of the things that I'm referencing. Starting off with this. So this is the LSU opponent game log. And the first thing you always go look at, for me, is the yard per play. And you can see Houston, out of all of our losses, this was our best yard per play loss. You can see Alabama, we held them to a respectable 5.5 yards per play. Offensively, of course, was the bigger issue. But Alabama's offense had been sputtering at that time. So 5.5 yards per play, yeah, you'll take that. But where were we vulnerable? At the end of the second quarter, like we were versus Houston, and like we were versus Ole Miss, where we held them to 5.7 yards per play. That was a really good defensive outing versus Ole Miss. But there was a lot of coverage busts. The yards that they did gain were wide open yards. Oklahoma, same thing, 6.0 yards per play. They had a few big plays. The Deion Burke slant, he made a good cut, and they scored. And then, of course, the Isaiah Satania deep bomb. Vanderbilt was really bad. That was a really bad defensive outing. We were soft. We were out of place. We just did not play well enough to win that game. Arkansas averaged 6.3 yards per play, but we won that game. But why did we win that game? Well, it was Mansoor Delane. Ridiculous interception at the end of the quarter, where Arkansas was driving yet again. And then he had the big play to end the game, where Arkansas would have had a first down and probably would have gotten into better field goal range. They missed a field goal and we win the game. And then we get to me, the thing that really troubles me about this year defensively, Marcel Reed had his best game of the season. And he is a true dual threat quarterback, a lot in the same mold of Jalen Milroe, who had his best games versus us. So these true dual threats who really struggle as pocket passers. Marcel Reed was a legitimate Heisman contender after what he did to us. So Baker's been here 2 years. And a lot of the things that happened in 2023 with Matt House happened in 2024. We were just better. And you give Blake Baker a lot of credit for that. But the problem is that a lot of the things that actually happened defensively in 2024 also happened in 2025. The difference was our players were better. But I don't know how much better we were actually coached. I really don't know. I think Baker did a better job. I really do. But I just don't know how much, if that makes sense. Yeah, the Florida game is one of the best defensive outings we have ever had. 5 interceptions. Well, we saw what happened with Florida. And even though Clemson didn't turn out to be any good, that was still a bottom 3 offensive performance for Clemson on the season. That was a great defensive outing by Blake Baker. One of the best games a defensive coordinator at LSU has ever called. And then obviously you had the South Carolina game. You had some really elite performances that you just saw on the screen. But what was South Carolina's offense? So the thing is, we worked hard to keep them. which once again, I agree with. But you also gave him a raise. You gave him a pretty nice raise. He was in the mid $2 million per year. Now he's up to $3 million per year. And the question will be, will we get a Mansoor Delane and AJ Halsey in the portal? I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. So once again, I'm still on the Blake Baker train. Still like him. Everyone I talk to loves the guy. But, and I can tell you that this wasn't entirely on Baker. It really wasn't on Baker all too much, at least the way I understand it. But I do think we are a one-win team better if the best linebacker we had didn't go to Auburn. And that, of course, was Xavier Debo Atkins. And I was really high on him. He's been on the channel. We've interviewed him. He loved Blake Baker when I interviewed him. I still think he loves him. I've not talked to Debo in forever. How much better is our defense with him next to Whit Weeks, next to Harold Perkins? We're a lot better. We're a lot. So Debo was playing a lot. Then we kind of moved on to Devon Keyes. And going into next year, Devon Keyes is going to be a big part of our team. It's really, really, really hard when your best players walk out the door. And you can make a strong case out of all the transfers that we have lost in this modern transfer portal era, he is the one that has hurt the most. Even though there have been others that have gone on and been really good. Landon Jackson to Jack Besh to whoever you want to mention. Dwight McLaughlin that went to new stops and had multiple years of success at their new stops. But Atkins really hurts. Really hurts. I don't know all the details, but it would have been nice to have. And that's kind of more of a Blake Baker style of linebacker. A guy who can literally just do it all. Who just flies around and make plays. Okay? Let's get to as many questions as we possibly can because I don't know if we're going to get another storm front and it blow me away here. And I hate that because our stream's doing really well here. Now let's go to DK. Carter, I love Michael Van Buren. Keep him and save money. Use that money to boost up other positions of need. Offensive line improves. Run game improves. Defense improves. Wins all around. So that's the thing, DK. How much money are you saving? I don't know. Once again, I do not know the numbers yet. But I will eventually know them. Or at least I would like to think that I would. So there you go. Let's go to the legendary CEO. Call to action. What is your call to action? Let me know. Let's go to Alexander. I want to see what Charles Ross and Jaden Breaker can do. They're better athletes than Keyes. Well, here's the God's honest truth, Alexander. LSU has not done a great job in a very long time of picking out who the best linebackers are. It's really, really, really hard to do so without actually seeing live action. And that's the case at any position, but I mean, it's rare we actually get it right from the get-go. So, yeah, it would have been nice. We played Tylan Singleton pretty much from start to finish. And it had its moments, right? This game last year was also the game where he played his most snaps. And I want to do this And I rarely do this, but I might make this a segment for next year. I might just go through, because I do look at the PFF grades. I just don't share them all too often, but get you a PFF subscription. It'll change your life, all right? And on Patreon, I do my own grades. So if you want to see my game grades from this game, go to patreon.com/LSU football. Now, they're not as detailed as this, because I don't have a team of a gazillion people, but I do go through and grade every position group, and it's already up for our patrons. And these are the offensive grades. We'll get to those in a second. Let's go to the defensive grades here. And you'll basically see of the young linebackers, we only played Zach Weeks and CJ Jim Coyley. That were the true freshman linebackers, that is. And we also, at the off-ball linebacker position, let's sort this by snaps, Deshaun Spears played all 87 snaps. PJ Woodland played all 87 snaps at corner. But what was interesting was Tylan Singleton played 84 of the 87 snaps at the weak side linebacker position. And then Devon Keyes played 75 of the 87 snaps. I don't know if I would have played Singleton as many snaps, simply because you're asking a lot out of a kid who didn't play much during the season to then say, hey, we need you to play 84 of these. I would have seen what you had in Breaker. I would have seen what you had in Charles Ross, who did play 5 snaps. And my thing is, and this was told to me by somebody at LSU, hey, it is just a bowl game. We were trying to see what we had and all of that. And I get that. But if you're going to go in with that mentality, I would have played a lot more guys than what you saw here. Like, I wouldn't have played Jordan Gilbert as much as I did. They did try a bunch of new pass rushers. They even tried to rush Deshaun Spears off the edge. They did that with Grant Delpit quite a bit during his heyday, prime Grant Delpit in 2018. But you have got to find a pass rusher. You simply do. And then you got to start having some hard, honest conversations about quite a few people that you just saw on that screen. All right. Let's take a guy like Dylan Carpenter. This is a Louisiana 3-star, a guy who's worked his ass off, a guy that was not guaranteed to ever play a snap this year. But the Relaford injury happened. Pyburn obviously didn't play in this game. But even before that, Carpenter started playing a lot more, and it wasn't good. For me, it just wasn't SEC quality defensive end play. And I hate to say that because I like him. I think it's great to have those guys that really want to make it work at LSU, and they really want to be here. There are so many guys that really just want to be at LSU. Jordan Gilbert is one. Louisiana 3-star wants to make it work at LSU. That's cool, but that doesn't mean you're going to be good. And one thing about this LSU defensive line, there wasn't a lot of playmakers. There just wasn't a lot of playmakers. Jabari Butler really started to come on towards the end. Patrick Payton was just so hot and cold this year. And the truth can be said about quite a few of the older guys. Now, coming up next, I want to talk about the Louisiana high school recruiting thing. This is a big question. Does LSU need to focus more of their energy towards high school recruiting instead of transfer portal recruiting? But first, I want to talk about the Shreveport Card Show. I will be there next Saturday. Really excited about that. Dustin Poirier will be there as well. I don't know if I'm going to get to see Dusty or Dustin the Diamond. I've always wanted to try his hot sauce. It's one of my favorite fighters of all time. The pride of Lafayette, Louisiana. And it's going to be a good time. $8 to get into the door. This is their biggest show that they've ever done. And, of course, I'll be set up. I'll have a table there. And here's a good thing. You come to my table and you say you came from the PHL show, I'll have some PHL goodies for you. Actually, even better than PHL goodies, because I am kind of short on merch now. I'm going to give you some of my own collection. And I always do that. But it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Now, a quick word from our friends at Labor Therapy.
Power Hour Network listeners and viewers, you might be consuming this content with that crick in your back that you've been trying to get rid of for so long. Take this as your sign today to book your appointment with LaborTherapy.com. In the Lafayette region, there is no one that you will find that cares more about any different type of pain that you might have than the team at LaborTherapy.com. Book today. Once again, that's LaborTherapy.com, or you can visit one of their five locations all throughout the Lafayette region.
All right, so you get into a weird space with high school recruiting. So you look at the teams in the college football playoff. Ohio State, mostly a high school recruiting built team, as in they got them to sign out of high school and they are there out of high school. Sure, Caleb Downs was a transfer, but that's just because Saban retired. Same thing is true with their quarterback who almost won the Heisman, Julian Sayin. So that doesn't really count, really. They're mostly built through high school recruiting. Georgia is the same way. Does LSU recruit elite enough at the high school level to be dominant and win like Georgia and Ohio State and Alabama, which is also a team full of high school recruits? And the answer to that is probably not, because we've always just been a step behind those three schools in recruiting, but we are always been that number four, number five, number six type of school. But this is where the issue really lies, is, and I get asked this a lot privately, is it coaching or is it the talent? Is it the players? And it probably is a mixture of both. However, when you look at some of the kids that have transferred out, and we did talk about Xavier Debo Atkins, but there's so many of these guys in this portal cycle and in the last portal cycle who were elite recruits, and they have gone to their new stop, and they have also stunk up the joint there, to put it bluntly. Let's talk about a guy who I personally had a really high grade on. Then the recruiting services kind of caught up to where I viewed this prospect. And his name is Kamarion Pimpton. I think a lot of you remember Kamarion Pimpton. Class of 2023, he was the 6'6" tight end that was committed to Vanderbilt. We flipped him, and boy, he came in with a lot of hype. He had the longest wingspan ever recorded by the recruiting services. He gets to LSU. He wasn't that great. He wasn't. So he goes to TCU, and TCU has been a really good transfer portal recruiting hotbed. Let me ask you this. Just off the top of your head, how many catches do you think a healthy Kamarion Pimpton had this year at TCU? How many? Just give it your best guess. No one's going to judge you. Because we've seen other tight ends at LSU transfer to a smaller conference, smaller school. We saw this not too long ago with Cole Taylor, who wasn't that great at LSU, goes to West Virginia, has a really productive career at West Virginia. He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Okay. And I'll pull it up for you just for you to see this. I actually just looked this up myself today. And I was floored. Floored at this. The answer is one. He had one catch for 3 yards. Now, it did go for a touchdown. You can see he's active. So he produced more at LSU, 6 catches, 79 yards, than he did at TCU. Okay. Now, I'd say he was healthy. Maybe he was hurt in some of these other games. I don't know. I don't know. But Kamarion Pipton ended up being a top 100 recruit. And the truth is, there are more Kamarion Pimptons who have actually been less productive than Kamarion Pimpton at his new stop. So maybe he was hurt. I don't know. But the truth is, there's been 3 years and 8 total catches of production. 8. And as Pegasus points out, sometimes it just doesn't work out. But that's a problem, Pegasus. And you know this because you're probably the diest, hardest PHL viewer. You don't miss a stream, and I really appreciate you. There are so many of these, sometimes it just doesn't work out. So, is it just that LSU has just been on a bad run of bad luck when it comes to high school football recruiting? There's probably some truth into that. Or is it that the coaching and developing and all of that was really that atrociously bad? And it's LSU's fault that these kids weren't in the right position to succeed. I don't know. But I can tell you that LSU had 2 different top 150 offensive linemen come in and as non-true freshman starters take the field and me multiple times say live and to myself and to everyone around me, is this the worst offensive lineman I have ever seen at LSU? I did that with DJ Chester, and I did that with Weston Davis. I didn't think it was possible that we were going to have a full season starter worse than DJ Chester. But it happened with Weston Davis. Those are top 150 recruits. So, when you get into, hey, we need to recruit at the high school level and continue to build fences around the state of Louisiana. Well, this year, we signed as many top 125 recruits as we did in each of the last past 3 seasons. 6. And a lot of those are on the defensive line where we do need the help. But man, if there was ever a time where Bryson Martinez is at least a watered-down version of Will Campbell, boy, oh boy, I would take that right now. I do think the better scheme and the better coaching is going to positively regress so many of these high school recruits that just have not panned out. Okay? But yeah, you know, you get to Cole, Caleb Jackson, it is hard for me to believe that Caleb Jackson, wherever he goes next, is not going to at least rush for 300 or 400 yards, which is a respectable number. It's hard for me knowing what I know about how some of the practices went. And once again, it is just practice, but we saw some of the game clips. You saw it. We'll just go through a few of these just for the sake of it. 2023 LSU football commits. We'll use 247. Lance Hurd, good player. He transferred. Kind of a tough spot for him and a tough spot for us. He's good. Deshaun Womack was better at Ole Miss than he was at LSU. Don't know exactly what happened with that. I just don't. If we would have kept Womack this year, I don't think it would have been that he was better than what we had at defensive end this year. But he's a good player. DJ Chester, we just talked about him. Javian Toviano, another top 150 guy. Jaylen Brown, another top 150 guy. Broke his leg pretty quickly at Arkansas. And he had probably the most critical fumble of the season for Arkansas when they were driving down to go beat Ole Miss. He fumbled the ball away and into the game. Then we talked about Kamarion Pitton, a top 150 guy. Whit Weeks, obviously, is a superstar. Jackson Howard has done absolutely nothing, even at his new school. Shelton Sampson never caught a pass at LSU. And then here's Caleb Jackson. Ugh. But you can even see as you go down here, none of these guys are any good. Kylan Jackson. Ugh. Ricky Collins at Syracuse. Don't get Syracuse fans talking about Ricky Collins. Ryan Yates. What did he do this year? At TCU, I really don't know. I could look that up really quickly. Zero tackles on the season. Solo tackles. He has three total tackles, Ryan Yates. I wasn't that high on him coming in. Tyree Adams. Actually had a good grade on Tyree. He's gone. Wasn't that great. Brathwaite, nothing. Kai Prien, nothing. Mac Markway, nothing. Got to get down to Kyle Parker and Ashton Stamps. At least they gave you something. But Stamps, we know what happened there. Kyle Parker, obviously very good. Then you have Mbenga, Carpenter, Trey Holly, Jeremiah Hughes, Michael Doherty, so on and so on. All right. So you could see this is the prime recruiting class. This is the year three. This is your prime of your collegiate career. And it produced one good player. And now Kyle Parker. All right, so two respectable starters. It's really hard to win that way. It's really, really, really hard. Okay. And then 2022, one of our best recruiting classes ever. We already discussed that. And 2024 wasn't really that much better. It really wasn't. Okay. So these are year two guys. Dominic McKinley. Tredez, obviously really good. Deshaun Spears, very good. Kylan Billiott, nothing. Jelani Watkins, I mean, it's just tough to know anything about him. Caden Durham. Once again, it is what it is with the environment. Weston Davis, Cohen Eccles. You would like to have thought one of these two top 150 guys would have worked out. And then it's just a lot of kind of role player type of guys. Relaford's going to be very good. And it's tough. And something else you'll see, Ori Williams went into the portal today as well. There's not a lot of three stars. There's just not. The services are really good at what they do. They get it right. Even the three stars that play a lot early, sometimes that a necessity, eventually they fizzle out. Yeah, Connor, I don't know. I don't know. I think at this point, though, I would actually prefer him to stay because the numbers are so drastic that you do begin to get to that line of demarcation where you're like, well, it would be nice to have another potential camp body or depth piece. Maybe a fresh set of eyes can fix what's going on there. But man. So Ronnie wants me to pull up Alabama's recruiting class. And I get what you're trying to do, Ronnie. You're trying to see if there is, if this is just an LSU thing. Okay. So I'll do that. It is a little bit different, though, because this was Saban's last class. So he's a better evaluator, better developer, and all those different things. But this one's honestly pretty easy. Keon Keeley, good role player, defensive end for them, had a big sack in the Oklahoma game. Caden Proctor, what else needs to be said? All SEC. Caleb Downs, superstar, the best player maybe in the sport. And he transferred out at Ohio State. Yanze Pierre is very good. All right, but these are five stars. It's a little bit different. So what about Justice Haynes? Very good at Michigan. Jalen Hill, Dez Ricks, who, you know, we got beat out for. Dez is not terrible. He's also not great. And then we get down to Malik Benson, who's good at Oregon. Justin Jefferson is a superstar linebacker. I think he's underrated. Eli Holstein, as someone out of our own backyard, he was hurt this year. Turned out to be a decent college quarterback at Pitt. But he was a very raw prospect coming out. I think Tony Mitchell's pretty good. And then Bray Hubbard is a stud. He is a stud. And so this is Alabama's prime year. And even with losing Caleb Downs, they're able to develop Bray Hubbard. Now, he's not as good as Caleb Downs. Nobody is, but he's pretty damn good. And we'll take a look at the 2024s, and then we'll get to Sibley Super Chat. Ryan Williams, bad year, but he's good. And Bakwe's good player. Xavier Brown's very good. Julian Sain, same thing with the Saban thing we just talked about. So it is a little bit different. Daniel Hill, very good running back for Alabama, especially as a year two guy. Let me just see if they have any three stars here. How about that name? Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. Let's go to Sibley. Coaches used to recruit football players, and then they moved them to positions, especially outside of the quarterback position. Earl Campbell was an all-star linebacker. Brandon Taylor, all-state quarterback. Are kids specializing too early? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So you get into the Juwan Johnson debate about him playing quarterback this offseason, and him ended up being a running back when he started off at defensive back, and I think he's in the portal as a quarterback. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, there are so many kids. Like, for instance, the best wide receiver arguably left in the playoff, or the best young receiver, is Malachi Toney. And he was a high school quarterback, and he's, you know, Kadarius Toney reincarnated and probably a little bit better. So, yeah, you know, you get into, like, the specialization thing. You know, one thing, two siblings super chat as far as the position is concerned. Normally, when a guy is at a position, and that's why he's entering the transfer portal, number one, you really have to ask, is he really at a position or is he just not really that good? And then number two, if you really think he's at a position, why do you think he's at a position? What is a position that he needs to play? Because I do see transfers say, yeah, I my usage wasn't correct. I saw, I think it was a Clemson running back who entered the portal. I wasn't used correctly. Really? They were starting a wide receiver at running back. They would have loved nothing more than to have a running back on their team. And Toney was a three-star. That is very interesting. So Juwan is listed as a, I could have sworn I've seen him as a quarterback. I guess it depends what site you're looking at. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can in the next 5 to 10 minutes. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. Appreciate all 277 of you watching across various platforms. Please join our YouTube membership. You will not regret it. You get extra film studies. Join our PHL Patreon. That gets you Discord access and even more insight on your LSU Tigers. I don't think, you know, we always say this, like, right after the season ends, this is going to be the longest offseason ever. I think, obviously, last year is going to feel longer than this next offseason that we're going to go through. I'm going to try and do a few things myself to pass the time. Maybe cut down on some of the lives that we do, because we have been going live basically 6 out of the 7 days of the week. And I kind of want to, you know, return to some normalcy. And then we'll get into women's basketball coverage, which we care about a lot. All right. I do want to discuss this with the LSU women's basketball team. It was so cool seeing Boosie on the front row, courtside. Always great. There's just not many schools that have celebrities of that stature going to non-football games like LSU has, and Boosie going to this game. It was so cool to see. But I am not an elite women's basketball reporter. I do care for the sport. I do like the sport a lot. It is not good that LSU is playing in all these blowouts. It's not good. Someone has got to say it. It's not good for the team. I don't think it's great for the sport. I think it's good for the teams that we play. They get the recognition of being on the court with the LSU women's basketball team, which is a top five brand in the sport. They'll get a check. They'll get the experience to play next to Flage and Michaela Williams and Malaysia and Kim Mulkey on the other sideline. A couple of those games are fine. But, y'all, there have been 7, it seems, of these 50-point blowouts. 50 points. We beat a team by 102. 102. someone has got to say something. Someone. And this isn't a knock on the teams that we've played. This isn't a knock on anyone because I don't know who schedules. I don't know how women's basketball schedules. But we are a premier program. You know what all the premier programs and the premier coaches do in the men's game? They have crazy schedules. They're playing brutal games. Brutal. And we did have a very fun non-conference game versus Duke where we went to Cameron Indoor. And that was so cool. Manny Diaz went to a practice. We were in Coach K's court. Carol Lawson, all of that. That's great. That made our team better. And we started off slow and we ended up winning that game by 16. But God, we've got to play some better teams in the non-conference. Schedule UConn. I don't care if they run us off the floor. I don't care. Schedule them. Please. It is so hard to watch. So hard. And I love watching this team. I do. So SEC schedule, it comes up here, and I'll just show you who we've played. We played two exhibitions, beat a team by 102, then beat a team by 80, and then in an actual game, we played Houston Christian, 108-55. We then played Southeastern, 115-26. Then we played Georgia Southern, 118-70. Charlotte, 117-59. Tulane, 101-71. That's a reasonable game. We're playing at their building. Alcorn, 112-49. Then we play this Paradise Jam in the Reef Division, Marist, 113-53. Washington State, 112-35. Now, it could just be we're that damn good. And Washington State is actually, you know, a program. And then the aforementioned Duke and the ACC-SEC Challenge. We play New Orleans, 126-62. Louisiana Tech, that makes sense. That was a neutral sider head-to-head or back-to-back with the men's, 87-61. Then we played Morgan State. Texas Arlington, final scores 91-33, 110-45. And then today, Alabama State, 109-41. I'm just asking for one more game. Put Miami on there. Put Utah on there. Louisville. And Pegasus asked a good question. Maybe this isn't an LSU thing. Maybe everybody has soft non-conference schedules. All right. So let's go to UConn's. All right. So they started the season versus Louisville. Very good program. Then they played Florida State, also a very good program. Then they played Ohio State, also a very good program. Then they played Michigan and Utah, two very good programs. And then they played USC. Best player in the sport played for USC. Then they played Iowa. Now they're blowing these teams out because UConn is just that team this year. But we need more of that. Yeah, I like being undefeated. I do. Everybody does. And I don't even know if it's a battle-tested thing. I just want more entertaining games. Now, once again, there's a lot of benefits. A lot of benefits of playing weaker teams. You do get those wins up. All right? You keep that loss column low. And there are a lot of people that are able to go because it's not even close to being sellouts. But I'm telling you right now, a reason why I'm so passionate about this is one of my most vivid memories as a student was being in the building for LSU versus UConn in the PMAC. And this was Sylvia Fowles going up against Maya Moore. That's insane. In a home and home. Bring that back. That's what I want to see. I want everyone to experience what I experienced in that arena that night. I took a date to that game. Because she had tickets. No, I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure I went by myself. I don't remember who was with me. Also want to shout out Mr. Tyler Shuck at the end of this. Holy crap. My life is so much better when I'm getting shucked up, dude. My life is so much better. Now, to Mac's point, part of why your schedule's so soft in the non-conference is that the SEC is going to be really good. But man, beating every school by 50? And that's not criticism. It's not. Once again, it was really nice seeing Boosie. All right. Last thing, I do want to get into an LSU football related thing towards the end. Y'all, we're never, ever, ever, ever going to quit fighting with Ole Miss. We're just simply not going to do it. And that's okay. So, friend of the channel, talked to him today, actually. Preston Guy is getting into it with, like, some of the big reporters at Ole Miss. And then, obviously, yeah, me, I've gotten into it with some Ole Miss fans. Not really my thing, getting into Twitter fights, even though Dave Portnoy had your boy viral. Even though he didn't respond to me, I kind of put him in his place with his dumb Michigan argument with Kyle Whittingham. And he was like, well, we respectfully went out and got ourselves a coach. we didn't steal somebody else's coach, as if you didn't try and get less freaking miles two separate times. But almost fans are never going to let this go. They just aren't. And LSU fans, because we got the guy, I think part of it is with Lane, things are always going to play out so publicly. And to that, I really just don't care. I'm tired of fighting with the Ole Miss fans. But the thing that I keep going back to is how different the Ole Miss beat's recollection of things is to that of how LSU reporters have actually reported this thing, and how a national reporter said that the team vote was 9-3 of the captains, if you will, in favor of Lane coaching the bowl game. This was The Athletic. All right, so they have probably the strictest group of editors in the world, in all of sports media. They're owned by the New York Times, so on and so on. It's just crazy to me that the Ole Miss fans won't come to the realization that they were trying to force Lane to sign the extension instead of just letting him finish out, no matter what he wanted to do with LSU. And I will still contend that Ole Miss is in the wrong for not letting him finish coaching the bowls. Never made sense to me. All right, y'all. We'll see you guys tomorrow. If there's some news tomorrow, we'll go live tomorrow. I feel like I need to take a day off. New Year's is around the corner. And don't forget, next Saturday, we will be in Shreveport, Louisiana. Also DJing a New Year's Eve party. So if you want to go, come holler at your boy. It is Power Out LSU. Boom. Shout out, Mr. John Sibley Butler. Tonight we are doing, some chicken, sausage, shrimp, and crab meat gumbo. We're putting all of it in there. Let's go. Huh?